Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Global Happiness Specialist, Inner Peace Practitioner, Oracle, Teacher, but more importantly, a constant, continuing, never-ending student. I just smashed my foot on the ground when I said student. Constant, endless seeking. I say that, you know, when I was younger, and you remember blowing the candles out on your birthday cake and making a wish. I always wished for the same two things. I wanted to, number one, live to my potential, and I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea. I had no direction. I just said, I want to live to my potential. And then the second thing I always wished for was I wanted to be happy. And you know, and I know, that when you ask, you receive. When you ask, when you search and you seek and you stick with it for 67 years, answers, you find answers. And that's all I'm doing here is sharing with you what I've learned about this thing the world calls happiness. This thing called happiness that, You know what I found out? That even that word happy, people have a problem, not everybody, but people have a problem with the word happy. So let me be very, very clear. When I say happiness, it is a state of mind. It is a state in mind. It is an energy. It's a vibration. And when you're practicing, and it is, the good news is, this happiness, which I also if I can speak, and I'm also using that word happiness interchangeably with contentment and inner peace. To me, it's the same thing. Inner peace, contentment, happiness, that vibration, that energy, it's the same. So let me just stick with the word that I'm getting a lot of feedback, the contentment. Contentment. When I say happiness is a practice skill, I can also say contentment is a practice skill. Peace, inner peace is a practice skill. Quite frankly, we're all born with inner peace. It's just that when the ego arrives and the teaching is that I'm separate from everyone else, I'm separate. That's the beginning. The beginning of the programming. And let me just give my definition of happiness. Everybody's got a different one. Happiness, contentment, use the word, whatever word you like. Whatever word, I'm open. Practice, happiness is a practice skill. So let me give you my definition. My personal definition is the ability, and this goes with happiness, this goes for contentment, and inner peace, the ability to vibrate an energy of peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. All it is the practice of flowing with every present moment, accepting every present moment, and quite frankly, here we go, there's no unwanted moment. What? No, there's no unwanted moment other than the programming that tells me that this is unwanted. Can you imagine if we were all programmed to accept, flow with, go with, embrace all moments, as opposed to saying, oh, this is a good one. I'll take this one. And no, I'll put this other moment back. No, thank you, universe. And again, I use the term universe. You can interchange it with God, higher power, source, what spirit, whatever you want. Words in my life, in my practice, don't tell anybody. Please don't tell anyone. Words don't have the power. Words don't have power. Energy and vibration is powerful, but a word, someone gave me an example. What did they say? Yes, if I cursed you out in, what did she tell me? It was Italian, but she used another, a more extravagant language, Turkish. She said, if I cursed you out in Turkish, I don't even know if it's Turkish, it wouldn't even be insulted. So don't tell me, well, you can tell me, but I'm not going to buy it, that words are powerful. It's the energy behind it. It's the intention behind it. And when you are tuned in, when I say tuned in, it's all about self-awareness and realizing that you are human, yes, in human form, yes, having a human experience, yes, but is that who you really are? Isn't there more to it? Human, you know what, this week, don't laugh, but I was texting my son, and I said, because he has a lot of different names for himself depending on how he's feeling, from different names, from Nathan to Native to Native to Neo, different names. And I asked him what he was feeling. He said, well, I feel like Native today because I'm going to go back to sleep. So he was identifying with his child. And I said to myself, because this has been a long time coming, this identifying with a name, with my name, with a title, or with what I, you know, accomplished. No, I text back and I said, you know what, I'm getting rid of my name. My new name is Universal, no, first I said Unlimited Spatial Entity. No, Unlimited Space Entity, Unlimited Space Entity. And then I came up with Universal Space Entity. Now, oh, my goodness. I remember years ago rolling my eyes with anyone I heard, yeah, I'm not my name anymore. I'm a number or I'm a symbol. And guess what? Now it's 2023 and I get it. Yes, so my abbreviated name is USE, not USC, that's a school, USE, Universal Space Entity, also known as Rebecca L. Norrington. Get it? I mean, I am detaching from all of this humanness. I know I'm human, but I'm getting way off the topic here, as I usually do. My definition of happiness, my definition of contentment is the ability to be at peace, the ability to vibrate peace regardless of what happens in this life, in this world. Oh, and if you want to speak with me live, the number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Oh, today's topic. If you've listened to this show, I've been online with this reality, spirituality, the truth about happiness. I can't even count, but it's over a decade now. And not to say that you've had to follow me for a decade, but I'm not the same person I was last week. I mean, I'm already giving myself a different name, Universal Space Entity. That's nutty. Wow. And my point is, the less identifying I am, less identifying with my humanness and moving on to another train of consciousness. And it is becoming more and more apparent in my personal life. And that's one of the reasons why I share. not that I'm up here just, it's me, but the sharing, I'm not pretending that I have all the answers, but I'm sharing to you what has worked for me. And when I talk about happiness and peace, the good news is that when I say happiness, contentment is a practice skill. It's like any other practice, from any walk of life to being a painter, a landscaper, an artist, an athlete, a musician, a car salesman. There's a skill to being a salesperson, a skill to it. Anything else, a web designer. So all I'm saying is the same thing with contentment. It is a practice skill. So the question becomes, what do you practice? What do you practice? Well, the first part of the practice is gradually eliminating all of those programmed behaviors, the ones that judge, the ones that say, this is an unwanted moment. I don't want this. I prefer that. Well, that's one of the practices. Letting go of all preferences. What? That's right. Zero preferences. Practicing letting go of all preferences, because that's another programmed behavior. I used to prefer a certain kind of weather. I used to prefer, now this is a real challenge. I used to prefer, well, I still do, but especially watching sports. Yeah, I prefer this team to win. But for years and years and years, there was no contentment after the team that I preferred to win didn't win. I mean, look at it. I'm watching the parts of this March Madness and the basketball college playoffs. The disappointment and the head hanging and the, my team lost. Oh, boy. Well, I get it. That's the human. That's the humanness. And so it's really separating and letting go slowly, because growth is slow. Oh, my goodness, it's slow. At least it is for me. Slow, slow, slow. Letting go of all of those human programmed behaviors. And what's my list up to now? I've got 44. 44 program behaviors that subtract from your contentment. 44 program behaviors that subtract from inner peace. 44 of them. I'll share with you a few of them later. But before I go on, especially for new people, because I people are following and finding me organically. I got to get more likes. I got to get more followers. No. People will follow or not. It's not, and that's another thing. Looking at numbers, paying attention to numbers. No. And that goes for bank accounts. That goes for the numbers on the scale. That goes for numbers of friends. That goes for likes. It goes for all numbers. Paying attention to numbers subtracts from contentment. And that's really a program, too, paying attention to numbers. But before I get into today's topic, which has been inspired by Dr. David Hawkins, and if you do not know or have of Dr. David Hawkins, you can Google him, and I also recommend looking at some of his videos on YouTube. Let me make sure I spell it right. David R. Hawkins, Hawkins. He is no longer with us, but this book, I've got a few of his books. The first one was Power versus Force, but this one, The Eye of the Eye. Now, the eye is spelled, the first eye is spelled E-Y-E, of the eye, which is just the eye, the letter I. So the book is called The Eye of the Eye, From Which Nothing is Hidden. And I woke up this morning, which I usually do, unless I don't. I woke up this morning and I just opened the book. I sleep with the book. It's on the bed. Don't ask me why. I've just been sleeping with this book for years. I sleep with the book, and I woke up And you know how you just wait, you just open the book and then a page comes, just shouts at you. And lo and behold, that's what happened this morning. And it was about, it was this, it's in the back of the book. Let me get that. It's under the dialogue where he answers, Dr. David Hawkins is answering questions. And one of the questions that he was asking, hold on a second, let me see. This is what I woke up to just to read. In the realm, and I, if you know me, I never, ever read from a book. I have never, well, there's maybe one or two times, but this was just hit me so strong this morning. In the realm of the divine, there are no rights to parade or proclaim. The world of rights and wrongs and political rights are all inventions of the ego to be used as bargaining pieces on life's game board. They are all based on seeking advantage and gain. In the reality of non-duality, there is neither privilege nor gain, nor loss, nor rank. Just like a cork in the sea, each spirit, that means each one of us, each spirit rises or falls in the sea of consciousness to its own level by virtue of its own choices and not by any external force or favor. Some people are attracted by the light and some seek the darkness, but it all occurs of its own nature by virtue of divine freedom and equality. In a completely integrated universe on all levels, nothing accidental is possible. To be truly accidental, an event would have to transpire completely outside the universe, which by simple observation is an impossibility. Chaos is only a perceptual concept. In reality, no chaos is possible. That's the same thing as saying everything is in order. Everything is in divine order. And in all, the mind of God is an ultimate attractor pattern that governs the totality of all that is. And then here we go. This is a question. Okay, I'm just reading here. This is from The Eye of the Eye by David Hawkins. And then I'll get back to what I wanted to share. Now, this is a question. The Buddha said there is really only one sin, and that is of ignorance. And this is a shout out to all of you people that have asked me and talked to me about, isn't there a sin? And there's sin, and I get it. I promise you I get it. I was raised Bible school, studying the Bible, sin, I get it. I'm not poo-pooing. But the Buddha said there's really only one sin, and that is of ignorance. Now, is that the truth, or is that falsehood? See, and that's the topic of today's show, discerning what is the truth and what is false. One of the things that just, this truth thing is real. And if you've done any research on muscle testing, the body can feel, the body goes weak with falsehood. Muscle, body goes weak. It's called muscle testing, and then the body stays strong with truth. You know, you put your hand out, you try to push it down, you keep your hand up. If it's a false statement, your arm goes down. If it's a true statement, the arm stays steady. Now, this is up to you. You can believe whatever you want. I'm accepting of everything that people believe. It's not easy practicing acceptance. But one of the things that I know is the truth is there is peace, there is contentment in acceptance, in the practice of acceptance. I didn't even finish this question. The Buddha said there is really only one sin, and that is of ignorance. Christ also said that to forgive people because they are ignorant, they know not what they're doing. So is the problem with the ego or just one of ignorance? And he answers, in the context of these quotes, ignorance seems to simply lack spiritual evolution or awareness. People lack insight into the consequences of their choices and the differences between goodness and negativity. Here we go. This is the grand finale. Ordinary human consciousness cannot tell truth from falsehood. And then he said that was Eve's problem. Hold on a second. Now it was just booted out. Hold on. I got to get back in here. Can you think? Beep, 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 beep. Okay, that's what happens when I'm not paying attention and my eyes are closed and I'm just chatting without my eyes being open. Okay, I'm going to read that again. Ordinary human consciousness cannot tell truth from falsehood. That's a powerful statement. And the way I interpret it is a programmed person, a programmed mind, the ego, the lower consciousness cannot tell the difference between truth and falsehood. What is, and this is another question that was asked that he answered, what is your understanding of the core of the ego? This is answered by Dr. David Hawkins. Not me, not a universal space entity. AKA USC, not USC, USE. Can you imagine if I changed my name to Universal Space Entity? That's really funny. Okay, and that's another thing. Lighten up, everybody. Lighten the F up. Lighten up. One of the program behaviors is to put an energy of this is serious and this shit is important. This is serious and this is important. You can even feel the heaviness in your body when that energy is attached to it. How about this? Just the experience without the judgment, because the judgment is this is serious. And I had to let go of all of that, still practicing. Don't think I have anything mastered here. Because the universe keeps slapping me in the face every single turn. Well, if you're claiming you're the happiness specialist, inner peace practitioner, well, take this. Bam! And I watched myself go between this human person and this conscious person, you know, the space entity, that one, and feeling the difference. Now, I can do both. I can definitely do both. I can go into the human and get into what this human thinks needs to happen in an unwanted moment. I can definitely get into that. But at this stage, at 67, that human it tightens up my shoulders. It is constant with the stories. It is never, ever content. And so I'm switching up to, I'm going to play for the other side as much as possible. Let me read this. This is, again, from Dr. David Hawkins, the eye of the eye, spelled the I-E-Y-E of the letter I. What is your understanding of the core of the ego? Here we go, the answer. It is pride beyond all else. Pride in the form of vanity of thought, mentation, concepts, and opinions is the basis of ignorance. The antidote, good news, there is an antidote. The antidote is radical humility, gratitude, and this asking for things, asking for a manifestation. How about asking for the truth to be revealed, as opposed to assuming that you already know it? Uh-oh. What? Ask for the truth to be revealed instead of assuming that you already know it. The mind is not capable of actually knowing anything at all. It can only presume to know about. The mind lacks the proper credentials to comprehend non-duality, meaning that we are all one. Anybody struggling with that one? That we're all one? He's saying that the mind can't even comprehend the difference between truth and falsehood. And let me give you a perfect example. It's on the list of the behaviors that can be practiced that are going to add to your contentment. How about this? Instead of having a goal of manifestation, of manifesting things, I'm just throwing it out. How about having a goal of what is the truth? Because there is a difference between what's true and what's not. In fact, Byron Katie, if you haven't heard of her, spelled B-Y-R-O-N Katie, she does this, practice is called The Work. Her first two questions, there's four questions. The first question is, is this true? And the second question is, are you sure? Can you be sure that it is true? So the world teaches, do, do, do. Accomplish, accomplish, accomplish. And then you will feel like happy. And then you will feel content. And in other words, seek doing so you can feel a certain way. And you all know that that is just not the truth. People that are, quote, successful, I'm using air quotes here, successful, have everything, access to everything imaginable, but where is the contentment? I'm going to throw Will Smith out there. Sorry, Will. Where is the contentment? There is no way a contented heart, spirit can go and slap someone. Now, there's not a judgment. There's a difference between judging, and there's a difference between witnessing. There's no judgment on what he did, no judgment, but don't tell me a contented heart can do that. That's just not the truth. But the guy has everything, success. In fact, don't think it's coming from me. Of course, I can't find it now, but look up. There was a GQ article, was it 2021? It was November 2021, where Will Smith, and I've said this before, Will Smith was interviewed, GQ magazine, and this is from his mouth. These are his words. He was saying that he, you know, when he was younger, he wanted more than anything to be a movie star known all over the world, check. Music career, check. I mean, the guy is by the world standards, is successful. There is absolutely no one, well, I don't know if that's true, but I don't remember anybody saying, well, no, he's not successful. By what the world standards, that's success. And in that article, he said, I had everything. And then he said, but I wasn't happy. Can you look it up? I had everything. I have everything, but I wasn't happy. So that we come back to the truth versus the falsehood. Is it true that accomplishments, whatever you accomplish, whatever you manifest, whatever is manifested, not you manifest, but whatever is manifested, does that have any bearing on how content you are going to feel? And you ask anybody, you find any person with millions and billions of dollars and ask them that. Yeah, money can buy a lot of things. A lot of opportunities to travel, whatever. But it has nothing to do with your contentment. Nothing. And in fact, I spoke of him before. My best friend retired from working as Dignitary Protection, and he's been around, you name it, in the world, you name it. And he's been around them. And he says, you know, the people with the most money, this is his perspective and insight, they're the ones that are even more disillusioned because they have it all. And having it all, where's the contentment? And here we come back to the truth versus falsehood. But what does the world teach? That something that you do can make you happy. Something that you achieve will make you happy. This contentment has nothing to do with anything achievable. It is the vibration and energy of contentment is your birthright. It's already who you are beneath all the programmed shit. Dig beneath the programming. Let's go back to non-programmed behaviors that add to inner peace, add to your happiness, add to contentment. And again, non-programmed. How about this one? Humbling, recognizing, knowing that that ego, that critical mind, that consciousness that says, I am not content in this moment. There is something else. There is something more that I need to experience. Until I get, there is something more that I need to have. There is something more that I need to experience before I can feel contentment. That's just not true. You can be the energy, a vibration of contentment right here, right now. But how? How does that happen? Switch your perspective. Switch your perspective. What is important? What is really, really important? Which leads me to, and forgive me if you've heard this before, but this is a, you can Google this. This is a study, the five most common regrets of the dying. The five most common regrets of the dying. The fifth one, no, not the fifth one. So there were a hospice nurse, and she asked her patients that had days to live, weeks to live, months to live. Forgive me if you've heard this a million times, but this is a powerful, powerful example of the truth versus falsehood. And you tell me if anything on this list has anything to do with what the world teaches about what success is. So the five most common regrets of the dying, the first one is, I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. The second one is, I wish I didn't work so hard. The third one is, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. Shout out to all the people pleasers out there. And you know what? I was talking to someone this week, and he said, you know, I can't say that. I can't do that. I'm a nice guy. That label of nice guy, what does that come with? What is the truth about somebody that says, I'm a nice guy? What is the truth? What is that? Does that mean that they can tell the truth to everybody at any time? Not if you're a nice guy. Does that mean that, I'm walking on eggshells here because this labeling I'm a nice guy, yeah, that sounds good, I'm a nice guy. But I'd rather have a truthful guy than a nice guy. I'd rather have someone that can tell the truth to me. You don't have to tell the truth to anyone else, but tell me the truth. I don't need a nice guy. I already know what nice. And nice guys, nice women, nice whoever you want to be. There's a limit, and the reason and that nice guy thing. That dances around the truth. Well, what is being a nice guy have to do with contentment? I mean, are you content? I don't know. I'm getting off way into the weeds. But that whole thing about nice guy, even labeling yourself, and why that label? Why is that a preferred label? I'm a nice guy. You know, that's a preferred label as opposed to I'm an asshole. Quite frankly, somebody said I'm an asshole, and that's the truth. Yeah, thank you for telling me the truth. Anyway, I digress. I wish I didn't work so hard. Number three, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. I already said that. I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. That's, I always put a little side note, sidebar on that, because quite frankly, I've outgrown a lot of people, and people have outgrown me. And if sometimes if someone is in your life, know that they're supposed to be there. And if they're not, know that they're not supposed to be there. And the last one is, I wish I would let myself be happier. I wish I would have let myself be happier. Let me share a story. This truth versus falsehood and why it's important to know the difference. I was listening to an interview on, and if you want to speak with me live, the number here is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. If you want, if you want to speak with me live and or ask to join the conversation on wisdom. I was listening to an interview by Marlon Wayans. Marlon Wayans is the younger brother. I don't know if he's the youngest, but he's the younger brother of Kenan Wayans and, was it Damon Wayans? I believe it's Damon Wayans. Kenan Wayans, he's the one that started that In Living Color, and Damon Wayans and all the Wayans family. There's a family of entertainers, comedians, very talented. And Kenan started that show In Living Color years ago. Was that in the 80s, 90s? I don't remember, but very, very talented family. And Marlon, I know he's the youngest, one of the youngest of the brothers, and he was talking about his journey into comedy and how he had to find himself, because his brothers were such powerhouses, that he had to find his true identity. And this interview was maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago, within a month or so. Of course, it could have been 6 months too, but it was recent. And he was saying that his evolution, it's almost as if, and I'm paraphrasing, that he doesn't even recognize the growth of who he used to be. And you get it, who I used to be. I'm going to speak for myself. Who I used to be, I don't even recognize that person. I remember that person, definitely. But the shoes don't fit anymore, and the outfit doesn't fit anymore, and even the hat size is different. The old me has evolved and continues, and that's the beauty of this journey. It is an ongoing continuance of growth and expansion and consciousness and evolution. It is ongoing, and it's never ending. Once you are interested in something other than what the masses have been taught, what the masses have been teaching, something different, because where is contentment found? Where is contentment found? Can contentment be found in a jail cell? The truth is, yes, it can. Can contentment be found in any kind of health challenge? I was reading one of these spiritual teachers, and health is so important. Health, I get it. Yes, try to be as healthy as possible, but know that, number one, I don't care how well you eat, vegan, keto, or you eat French fries. How do I say this? The contentment, that's what I wanted to say. The health how do I say this? I'm just going to spit it out. My grandfather, who lived to be 102, smoked cigarettes for 40 years. Bacon, you know, ate all the pork, bacon, all the fried foods. Come on, he was from the South. Cigarettes and fried foods. Lived to be 102. So he smoked, and that was his running joke. I smoked cigarettes for 40 years, and I gave up cigarettes for 40 years. So I understand the, and I'm not poo-pooing all the healthy diets. What I'm saying is, what is more powerful? What you put in your body, or what you, or your thoughts about what you put in your body? Now, sugar, fried foods, not the healthiest. I get it. I'm cut back on sugar myself. I understand all that. But this is deeper than something on the surface. So what is the truth? What is truth? Meaning that I'm not thinking that what I do or what I eat in every single moment. Boy, I'm really getting into the weeds now. Has anything to do with whether or not I am feeling or having an energy of contentment. The suffering comes from believing the programming. And, of course, there's scientific evidence that, you know, the cleaner you eat, I get it. But there are people that have the cleanest diet that are as discontented as you would ever imagine. That's what I really want to say. Truth, falsehood. That a clean diet does not mean contentment. That's what I want to say. Let me share with you one of the traps that the ego, and let me see if you can relate to this. My best friend, we speak regularly. Now it's every day. It used to be once every 3 days. First it was every day for 12 years. Then it changed to once every 3 days, once every 4 days. And now it's getting back to, I hear from him every day. And last weekend, he had an assignment that required him to be isolated for 16 hours straight. I didn't know about the assignment because we're not on each other's ass like that. Hey, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing today? What time are you doing that? When you have lunch? We don't do that. When we speak, and there's no pattern, there's no rules about it. But we connect, usually every day. And on this particular day, like I said, it was 16 hours that he was isolated because of his position, because of the job that he had. It was a job that he had to be enclosed for 16 hours. And here we go, and I usually talk to him. Now my ego goes into this story, and let me tell you something, my dear audience. The story is the same story every single time. My ego can't think of anything other than a bad news story. Oh, he's dead. He died. I don't know where he is. The universe is leaving me here by myself. Oh, God, he's dead. How can you leave me by myself? All of that same story. It always goes to he's dead. Heart attack, always. My ego is not that creative. Not creative. And then his story, because we talked about it, his story about me is if I have my phone off, because I don't have my phone on all the time during the day, and if I'm teaching a class or if I'm in a particular Beamer treatment, if you will, which is brand new, I turn the phone off, and so my phone's off. And then his story that his ego tells him is, she's mad at me. She doesn't want to talk to me. Listen to this one. She doesn't want to ever talk to me again. You following what I'm saying? These stories that the ego creates, that the ego goes instantly to, I don't know about you, but it's the same story. It's the same story. And the ego knows exactly what is going to get under, what is going to, ooh, what? If you've ever seen a deer or even a rabbit or any kind of animal that's very sensitive, they perk their ears up and they stand real still and they, high alert, high alert. My ego has the same high alert story for me that never, ever changes. And this is last week. But the practice is I know the difference. I know that it's a story. It's a constant story on a loop, and it's not going to come up with any other story. So his story about me is she's angry, and she's not, and she doesn't want to talk to me, and she never wants to talk to me again. So we both were saying that because, I mean, this has happened more than once. Oh, I thought you were dead. You're dead. And there was one time, I'll never forget, it was about 4 years ago, one time where I didn't hear from him for 3 weeks. I knew he was dead then. Be mindful of the stories that the ego wants you to believe, and also stress that, not stress that, but in addition, be mindful that the ego will not give you any new story, any new perspective. It's just not that creative. It's not that creative. And we had a great laugh about it, especially when it's not coming up with any new stories. It's the same story regurgitating over and over and over again. That's a clue. If you want to speak with me live, the number, area code is 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Truth versus falsehood. Yes, I'm living in human form, and I am having a human experience, but don't think that's the entire truth. The truth is I am the universe experiencing this human life, and the universe is experiencing it through me. So there's a difference between human and just pure consciousness. And this being grateful for any manifestation, how about just being grateful for being in this form and being grateful for being able to experience this lifetime? I'm done with, oh, thank you for, I get it. I understand. Thank you for food, and thank you for the car, and thank you that I have a roof. I thank you for that. But the truth is, thank you. Just I appreciate life and the experience that this life is brought and continues to bring. This is a personal story, another one. I am living in a community, 55 and older. I said I would never live here. I would never live here, but here I am, 55 and older. And this community offers so many different, wow, clubs, from the chess club to the model train club to the photograph club to the dance club. And now there's a club that I joined March? Yes, March. At the beginning of March. It's called the TAP. It's called the dance club. But in the dance club, there's classes for tap dancing. And I took tap dancing when I was younger, I think five or so, maybe five, six, seven. Who remembers? And I don't, for some reason, I wanted to Join the tap dancing club. Join the club. Listen to this. It's $17.50 for the month for four lessons, four Saturdays. I've already been three Saturdays. Next Saturday is the last session. That's outrageous. Isn't $17.50 for four tap dancing lessons? That's what happens when you're 55 and older. The prices go down. Anywho, I joined the club, paid my $17.50. I bought tap dancing shoes, which I returned to get the better tap dancing shoes. There's cheap, and then there's more comfortable ones, and they're not that cheap. But I figured if I'm going to invest and I'm going to be on Broadway, I need to have really good tap dancing shoes, and so I ordered my nice, almost $200 tap dancing shoes. I just want to let you know that I'm invested. I'm ready. I wore them yesterday, too. Prior to yesterday's class, I received, last week I received paperwork. Because before I can get in, not before, but while I'm in the tap club, while I'm in the tap dancing club, I also need to join the dance club. Okay, what are those fees? $25 a year. $25 a year? That's outrageous. It's a piece of cake. $25 a year, no problem. But what came with $25 a year was this pamphlet, probably 12, 15 pages of personal information that this dance club needed from me. From my, name, fine, to, I should change my name to Universal Space Entity, from the name to the address to the emails to the doctors, what medications are you on? It was at least 12, 15 pages. It was a stack. And I'm looking at it, and I said to myself, now this is already after the investment. This is already after two lessons. And I, oh my goodness, after my first tap dance lesson, I was tapping all the way home. I knew I'm ready for Broadway, at least the senior version. I'm ready. I'm ready to tap, tappy, tap, 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 tap into the 90s. And I don't mean 1990. I mean 90-year-old. And there's people that are in that tap dancing club that are really good. And, yes, they're in their 90s, but I digress. I look at this paperwork and I say, there is no way I'm feeling, I don't feel inspired to do that, even though I was excited, even though I was, yes, I'm ready. I got the expensive shoes. Yesterday, when I sent an email, I said, I will fill out a liability. That's no problem. Liability form, sign my name. Know the tap dancing club, the dance club, is not liable for any injuries I may incur. Got it. No problem. Sign and date. But this other information, emergency contact, medical records, medical history, I'm just not interested in filling that out. And I sent a very nice email, and I said, no, thank you. If this precludes me from being in the tap dancing club or taking more tap lessons, I will please know that I had the best lessons, I had the best time in those 2 hours as possible. And I really did. I was smiling. I was bopping to the music, the old Java songs that I'd never heard before. Now I'm into the 50s tap dance music. Anywho, I said, if I have to fill out this paperwork to continue these tap dancing classes, I'm telling you, I wasn't inspired. And then the response back was, well, what about emergency contact? That's important. No, I'm very private. I do not want my private information out. If anything happens to me, call 911. Anyway, yesterday I get to the tap dancing class. And the head muckety muck, the lady in charge of all of this, and I do have a point here. Thank you for listening, if you are. And I do have a point. She came to me one-on-one. She's not even in the class, but she came and she says, I hear that you don't want to fill anything out. Are there certain parts of the of the application or the information that you don't, why aren't you comfortable? What is it? Maybe we can, I said, I don't want to fill out any paperwork. But why, and so now I'm thinking, okay, here we go. Here we go. I said, if, and I promise you, in the nicest, softest, most peaceful way, I said, if I have to fill out the forms, I can't continue with the tap. I said, I do not mind the tap dancing classes. I do not mind filling out a liability, but anything else is personal, private information that I prefer to keep private. I said, but please know that I had a great time. Now I've had 3 tap dancing classes. I had a great time. I had fun yesterday, too. But I don't need, I don't need for this tap dancing lesson to continue. And that's another example of attachment to any future moment. How about experiencing the present moment, enjoying the present moment, and then it's over. The expectations of more lessons, I didn't have it. It would have been nice, it would be fun, but I don't have expectations. And especially now after the head muckety-muck now has to talk to some other head muckety-muck, well, I'm going to have to talk to the powers that be, to determine whether you can continue. I said, okay. And the truth is, what an experience. I was looking forward to learning more, but if I can't, I'm okay with that too. And really, if I really wanted to learn more tap, don't you think I could hire somebody to teach me tap? And especially this teacher here, she's really good, really nice, very gentle, opposite of me. I could hire somebody to teach me tap dancing one-on-one if I'm really that serious about it. See, there's always solutions to any issue, to any moment that the ego will say, this isn't satisfying. So that's where I am right now. Who knows if I'm going to be able to continue the tap dancing classes. I'm definitely not filling out 12 pages of personal information just to take tap dancing classes, regardless of whether I purchase the shoes or not. And that is just the flow of life. Attaching to the past, attaching to the future, having some idea in my head what some moment, quote, should look like. No, not at all. When I talk about truth versus falsehood, so the falsehood would be, no, I'm not even going to say that. That doesn't make sense. Let's see. Let me just leave with this. Your awareness, self-awareness is the work. Just the fact that you are aware. Just the fact that you can feel, you can recognize what's the truth versus what's false. Is it true that all of this accomplishment means that you are going to feel a certain way, that you will be content. Contentment doesn't come from doing. Contentment is, again, your birthright. Be mindful of all of the program behaviors that subtract from your contentment, because those behaviors are a program. The program are not the truth. And let me read some programs that are not the truth. Here we go. Needing to be right. That's a program, and quite frankly, that's an addiction that I suffered from, the need to be right. Now, however you are listening to this, I welcome all opposing concepts, opinions. Well, I was talking to someone the other day. It was on wisdom, and we were talking about, we just had a totally different take on, did Jesus have a choice? That was the question. Did Jesus have a choice? I asked that question. Did Jesus have a choice, or was that Jesus' destiny? I mean, there's conflicting thoughts, but one of them is true, and one of them is false. And how do you discern which is which? One of them, and when I say have a choice, I mean, you know, poor guy sitting there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Hey, guess what's next? Guess what's next on your agenda today? Yeah. Guess what's next? And originally, as the story goes, I don't want this. No, thank you. Take the cup away from me. I'm not feeling this one. No, thank you, God. No, thank you, Father. Ain't feeling that. Ain't feeling the crucifixion. No. And then finally, the acceptance and the not my will, but your will. So my question is, did Jesus have a choice? Or was that his destiny? And everybody's got a different answer. But there's one answer that is the truth and one answer that is false. Because one can't be true with the other one being true. Can it? Hello? I challenge you, my dear listener. I challenge you, my dear audience. I challenge you to ask, and let's stay with the thoughts, because those thoughts, those stories can be consuming, self-consuming, and I'm speaking of myself, and you just take me down this path, the path, but are the stories, are the thoughts true? And let me say this, I'll tell you this, this is a fact. Well, this is, okay, scratch the fact. Are those stories, are those thoughts, are those thoughts your identity? Do you identify with your thoughts? Are those thoughts who you are? It's either the truth or not. I believe I'm not my thoughts. I'm definitely my stories, and my stories are in a loop. I'm not my stories. I'm not my thoughts. What I am is consciousness. Pure consciousness having a human experience. And everything else is a program. And everything else is a learned behavior. And those programs and those learned behaviors have been proven to subtract from your peace, from your contentment, and from your happiness. Woo-wee! Well, that's the end of today's show. Thank you for listening. Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Oh, of course, the website is still being updated, and now I'm jumping on another website updater person. So you can visit my website, but know that it is not it's not updated yet. It will when it's time. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. LinkedIn, my Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. I have a few videos on YouTube. Everything is a work in progress, including myself and even, yes, always myself, a work in progress. Who you meet today, who you've heard today, is not who I'm going to be in 2 weeks. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. And I also wrote a chapter in the best-selling book last year in March. It's called The Book I Read. This book that I'm writing now, Program for Unhappiness, is going to come out this year. I know it. I can feel it. In fact, one of the chapters is, what are you talking about? And why are you talking about it? And until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. Your conscious energy, which is always evolving, always changing, always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself by accepting yourself and accepting all the moments that you experience without a judgment. Without a judgment that, no, I don't want this. Trust, believe, and know that every moment is there to serve you, whether it feels like it or not. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, global happiness specialist, Rebecca Lynn Norrington. And remember, happiness is a practiced skill. Contentment is a practice skill. Peace, inner peace, is a practice skill. And the more you practice, the more peace you will find, the more contentment you will experience in every moment. And every moment reflects on what you practice. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
I'm writing spirituality.
It's a new experiment.
I'm writing spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
I'm writing spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
I'm writing spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some.
Get real.
Now, what I'm about to say,
time to get real.